As if we don't have enough to worry about as we get older, Paul. Now it turns out we can't enjoy the same foods we always used to enjoy. Our bodies change. We develop food sensitivities. However, I guess it's even worse than that. That can happen even when we're young. And that's one of our topics this morning on Health Matters with Paul Rosen. How are you doing this morning, Paul?
I am cruising.
You are nodding your head in affirmation at the things I just said, so it's good to know I had it right the first time out.
Well, food sensitivities, it seems overnight that most everyone is sensitive to one food or another, grains, dairy, nuts, and the list goes on. How come? And the fear-mongering about total cholesterol has got to stop. We spoke a lot about that last week, but I had a number of questions, and so I wanted to revisit some of that information for folks. And if we have time, I'll get to the best predictor of heart disease, or maybe I'll combine the last two. As we go, it'll just kind of come out. It usually does.
That sounds
really
good. And then
we'll also hear from my patient, Chris, and he was experiencing chronic health problems, utilizing tons of medications of various sorts, getting nowhere. Food sensitivities were one of his issues.
Okay, so what we want everybody to do while we prepare for all that is give us a call at 503-222-9700, 503-222-9700. You can talk to Paul this morning directly about your health issue, and if you go on the air, you can get a copy of Paul's book, The Missing Piece, right?
Correct.
The Missing Piece.
You will have to arrange to pick it up at the office. We don't mail them out, but we'll have a copy there, autographed and ready for you.
And at AccuNatural.com, ACUNatural.com, you can visit 24/7 to find excellent health information and podcast editions of this show. So, Paul, when we say food sensitivity, what exactly do we mean by definition? What is that?
A sensitivity is the experience of some kind of symptomatic reaction after consumption of a food or foods.
So could this be something that breaks out on your skin? Could it be?
Could be any symptom you can think of.
Trouble breathing, something like that?
Anything you can think of. Now, the difference between food sensitivities and food allergies is really a technical difference, but a legitimate food allergy is where you eat a food, like a shellfish type food or peanuts, and experience anaphylactic shock, where your body literally begins to shut down and you're struggling for breath.
So that peanut food allergy seems to be fairly common, and maybe it's just my perception because we hear about those in the news on occasion. In particular, you'll hear about a flight somewhere where they broke out the peanuts and somebody on board would have an allergic reaction to those. I read about one girl, she's 13 years old, and whenever she takes a flight, she brings these handy wipes with her, these baby wipes, and she wipes down every surface she's near to remove any trace of previous peanut ownership, and that way she can
I mean, I understand the paranoia. It's not a very fun experience. It's pretty anxiety-producing and potentially deadly.
You mentioned shellfish. Are there certain other foods, such as peanuts, besides those two, the peanuts and the shellfish, are there others to which people are commonly allergic?
Yes. But those are the two main food groups.
Yeah. And as with food sensitivities, can you develop a food allergy really at any point in your life?
I suppose anything's possible. But food sensitivities are most widespread. I mean, some estimates are anywhere between 35% and 50% of the entire population of the United States is sensitive to one food or another.
And I'm guessing maybe sometimes we have these sensitivities and we don't know it. Is that right?
Correct. Correct. Because you will be experiencing a chronic symptom of some sort, like eczema or a milder skin rash or migraines or all kinds of digestive symptoms from irritable bowel disease to colitis to Crohn's to these terms are things that people are probably familiar with or have heard about. Any kind of inflammatory slash autoimmune experience that a person is having can be rooted in part in a food sensitivity.
So you may have these things going on, these kinds of symptoms, and you never make the connection, you know, to the food you're eating.
That's correct. And the biggest thing, the fad approach right now is if you've got a digestive issue, right, you may have a gluten intolerance. People being identified as gluten intolerant, when in fact, it's not so much that people are gluten intolerant. The fact that, well, we're going to go into those things.
Okay. And I know gluten-free foods have become a big thing in the past few years.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound unsympathetic, but I will tell you that gluten is the least of the problem.
So this would be another cause, or I should say another example of treating a symptom, not a cause. Is that right?
Of the many factors that that have been identified with the causes of food sensitivities, the biggest, in my view, is number one, the disruption of the immune system, the gut itself, the big M,
microbiome,
he's learning, folks. It's amazing.
And we've only been doing this show for what, 25 years? So I guess it's about time I figured it out.
And then secondly, the way in which the crops are grown, and thirdly, the hybridization, and even worse, the modifying of the genetic profile of grains all over the last 20, 25 years are really the biggest three causes of food sensitivities. And the reason I can say that with some sense of certainty is because it's the way we get people back on track.
So you're referring to the fact that pesticides are used in the growing of crops, the fact that we have Frankenfoods also.
Right.
That's a reference point
that's
right
correct.
There.
That's
and
correct.
And also the fact that our own bodies are changing. We may have problems with our microbiome and our immune systems
thanks to
our poor diets.
Yeah, the grain itself, and I think you hit that as the first, the genetically modified. But the grains themselves have not just been genetically modified, which is horrific. The grains themselves that tend to lend themselves to being more plentiful when planted. In other words, more profitable for farmers to plant, which is what they've been trying to hybridize to, right? It's about the money.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that these grains contain more of a different protein profile, which is creating bad reactions in the human body.
And that was my next question. It sounds like given all these conditions, we may be more susceptible to food sensitivities now than we may have been in the past just because the conditions are different.
Well, the susceptibility is because of the destruction of the microbiome. And for those of you who are just tuning in who have never heard the term microbiome, is basically the colony of microbes, including bacteria and virus and various parasites and fungi that are in large part responsible for our being able to survive on the planet. Without them, you couldn't convert the food that you eat into usable energy for the body. You couldn't fend off the lethal or at least harmful pathogens that are out there and in here. There are harmful pathogens that are part of the microbiome, but they have a symbiotic or a useful part in this process. But they're kept in check by the friendly microbes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So anything that upsets the balance of the microbiome, anything that would cause harm to the microbiome, will over time begin to result in inflammatory reactions, chronic conditions, autoimmune reactions, and the like, right? Now, the next factor is how the crops are raised. And they're raised with synthetic fertilizers, but worse, the pesticides and herbicides that are put on the crops are extremely harmful. We now know, well, we always knew, but now there are enough unbiased studies out there and maybe even a verdict or two against Monsanto for their Roundup product, their glyphosate product, which is not just used throughout the season to douse the crops with. They're used just before the crop is harvested. It's used as a desiccating, a drying agent. Just before the wheat crop, the soy crop, the corn crop is essentially harvested.
So does that act as a preservative?
Think about it. If
it's an extra dose of poison before they put it out to market. Is that what I'm hearing?
A ton. That's exactly what you're hearing. So when that food is processed into the forms that it's used in making our food products, it's loaded with herbicide. Loaded. And of course, you can't really raise the genetically modified product without the pesticide or the herbicide, right? So over time, what's clearly happened and continues to happen is we're being poisoned one bite at a time if you're consuming commercial grains.
And add to that maybe our own bad eating habits, right? The fact that we don't eat well to begin with.
Add to that the use of antibiotics, whether or not they're indicated for anything that a practitioner, doesn't have the slightest clue, take an antibiotic. Even if your problem might be parasitic or viral or fungal, where antibiotics have absolutely no effect whatsoever, where the flu, people who are experiencing flu symptoms are given antibiotics as a preventative. Anyway, the list goes on and on. What does that do? Destroys the microbiome.
Which in turn creates food sensitivities.
Because the body begins to identify proteins that escape into the bloodstream through a damaged intestinal structure, right? The lining of the intestines.
Your body identifies these proteins? What does that mean exactly?
As foreign invaders. They don't belong in the blood.
So they're rejecting the food. Is that right?
They're associated with the food that contains the protein.
And I shouldn't say they. I mean, your body is rejecting the food and having a reaction to it, a physical reaction.
An immune reaction, one of the strongest reactions, ultimately identifying a foreign protein in the bloodstream which doesn't belong there, just like it does to any outside pathogen.
And as you indicated a few minutes ago, this damage to the microbiome can take place over a course of years. So as we get older and we discover there's a certain food that we're having a reaction to, we may think, well, I'm just getting older. Well, that may be true, but it's not the entire story. It's because you have done particular damage to your microbiome over the course of years, and that's why you're having this reaction.
I know that's what you're believing to be true, but you yourself, and I think a lot of people are doing that. They think this is an old person's problem. But it isn't. It's a problem with newborns. It's a problem with, you know, kids younger than 5 years old and older. And it is a problem across the board. Right? There are people, kids coming into this world, sensitive to various types of foods. That can be passed through from the mother. The condition of a weakened biome can be passed right on to the child. And then to strengthen the immune system, which is often, women are encouraged to breastfeed. If you have trouble breastfeeding, if you have, you know, a reason that you've given yourself not to breastfeed, and you're going to use formulas, the worst thing you can do is use a soy formula. The worst thing you can do, right, which many formulas are. Almond milk would be better than that by light years.
Are they less expensive or something, the soy formulas? Is that why they're so, okay, that's why they're so popular.
And they're pushed by the entire medical community, right? What does mom know? I mean, even the most well-read mom can't really, know everything that is going to be required of her, after delivery.
503-222-9700 is the number for you to call this morning to speak directly to Paul Rosen on Health Matters about this issue or any health issue with which you're dealing. 503-222-9700. So how do we know, Paul, that we have a food sensitivity? And more narrowly than that, how do we know which food we're sensitive to?
Get tested. Right. But not just blood tested, because people who have... I've worked with many, many, many people who have gone through the skin tests, the skin prick tests and whatnot, who have been told they have allergies to everything under the sun or just a few items or whatever. Most of the time, that just doesn't work out to be true.
And once you know you have this food sensitivity, is it then just a matter of not eating that food anymore? Does that fix
everything?
Certainly
in the beginning. Certainly in the beginning. But here's the thing. Grains shouldn't form the foundation of what you're eating anyway. Grains are not the foundation of a good diet.
Are grains in many foods?
Yes. Yeah.
So we
think about
be,
it. What's a grain?
Be, well,
what's
okay.
a grain?
I don't know. You tell me. What's
well,
a
wheat's
grain?
A grain. Corn's a grain. Soy is a grain.
And I happen to know that corn,
rice is a grain.
Corn, for example, is just about everywhere. So my
so
point,
is soy.
What,
so
I'm
is
trying,
wheat.
What I'm trying to get to with that is that we are consuming these things often without knowing that they are ingredients in our foods.
That is correct, actually. Just because it's not a bread or a biscuit or a muffin or something. Yes, it's in all kinds of ingredients used as various types of thickeners or coloring agents or binders or, oh my gosh, in the processed food industry, it would freak you out. In fact, that's one of the things, one of the tasks that every patient that we work with has when they come in is to go back into the store and look at all the foods that they were eating, look at the food labels. And invariably to a patient, they'll come back and they'll say, oh my gosh, I had no idea that soy was in everything, that corn was in everything, right? It's a big issue for people when they discover it. It's one of those aha moments. Oh my gosh, I didn't realize it.
So to use your patients as an example, when they check out food labels, as you've instructed, and find out that there are things in those foods they didn't know about and to which they may have sensitivities, does it then become just a matter of them avoiding those foods?
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
And, yeah. Then, and for some, forever. Sometimes the body just simply, you've conditioned it, unbeknownst to you. You've conditioned it. You can't eat them. But my recommendation is basically to limit the amount of grains that you're eating, and definitely do not eat soy under any circumstances. And rice now and again is less of a problem.
So you mentioned shellfish and peanuts. I mean, could I have a sensitivity to something like beef, you know, or some other food that I really enjoy?
Haven't seen it.
Well, that's good news.
Guess we know what he eats.
Right. But I'm going to guess there are all kinds.
What continues to be for
dinner?
And
I'm not here on behalf of the American Beef Council or anything like that. But
I don't know. Well, what's that badge on your shirt there?
And the horns I'm wearing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And the cowboy hat and all that stuff.
A Texas Longhorns.
Must be that thing. Yeah. I guess the point I'm getting at is once you've identified a food, that food could be any number of things. Is that right?
Could be any number of things, but in my clinical experience, you know, it's generally limited to, grains, nuts, or dairy of various types.
So dairy could be any number of things.
And the shellfish.
So that's a pretty narrow range, mm-hmm. actually. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, that to me seems like good news, because that means those things are coming from just a select list. And all you have to do is work to eliminate those things your diet.
Yeah, and if you're experiencing high blood pressure or high blood sugar, or if you're experiencing migraines, or if you're experiencing any kind of digestive problem, or any kind of skin problem, or asthma, or anyway, the list just goes on and on, right? The likelihood is that you are sensitive to one or more foods and don't know it. That's been my experience in the clinic. I mean, there isn't any person that I have ever worked with in my clinic that hasn't had to eliminate one of those food groups or another for a limited or unlimited period of time so far.
So let's get our category straight.
But my point is even if you were okay with certain grains, do not make them the foundation of your diet.
Does anybody do that? Do they say, hey, I'm going to make grains my chief form of nutrition?
Most everybody has been bludgeoned into believing that grains are the foundation of your diet. Just we've talked about this many times, about the nutritional guidelines. If you look at the nutritional guidelines, used to be the pyramid, now it's the plate. The largest part of the plate is grains.
So are you talking about USDA guidelines?
Yeah. I'm talking about not just USDA, but what your doctors and nurses and practitioners recommend.
And the point here maybe is that somebody is following those and other healthy guidelines, or what they feel are healthy guidelines, and they develop a food intolerance as a result.
I don't know what you're asking.
Well, if they're consuming a lot of grains, as recommended, can they over time develop a food intolerance?
That's the whole point, of course.
There you go. That's what I was getting to.
Oh, I mean, that's what we've been talking about for the last 26 minutes.
He says as his brow furrows, but I was speaking specifically of that.
Come on, Rod.
By the way, if you want to watch Paul's frenzied reactions to my comments, you can do that. You can go on Facebook Live. Just type in Paul Rosen and watch him do the show live and in person right here.
And they can get a free book.
And you can get a free book by calling now at 503-222-9700, 503-222-9700. Again, you can ask Paul about any health issue. You don't have to limit it to what we're discussing right now. 503-222-9700.
And the website,
acunatural.com.
acunatural.com.
That's 24/7. You can go there anytime. All kinds of health information is there. And not a single shirtless bathroom selfie. You don't have any of those, do you?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's just a consumer advisory.
And that would be a horrifying pick.
Yeah. Well, you see that kind of thing in the news on occasion. There was a congressman a few years ago, you know, who was taking some ill-advised photos of himself and sending them to somebody, you know.
More than one.
One that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
That's
no,
plenty.
More than one.
Yeah, they published that one and that was plenty. I was done.
Yeah, right.
I was done with that.
That's
so
just,
our categories, you know, food sensitivities.
Really,
yes, they are. Before you go on with your point, food sensitivities and food allergies, you said there are technical differences. Now, there's something called a food intolerance.
Similar to a sensitivity.
Okay.
Intolerance and sensitivity are essentially, replaceable
In my understanding, I was looking at some information from Harvard Health, and they said food intolerance had to do with
what would they know?
Well, I don't know. They're at Harvard.
I mean, if you say Harvard, then you immediately think, oh, my gosh, no.
Well, yeah.
But in any case.
They know where to buy the best
ascots. The one thing
ascots.
I wanted to say, though, that was not mentioned, and that is that for people who would like to hear the show, they can always go to my podcast and the website at econatural.com. It's available there.
Yes, acunatural.com. You can click on the podcast tab and find those.
Yeah.
The food intolerance thing, though, apparently relates to your body's inability to break down enzymes properly. Yeah, you're just looking at me quizzically.
Yeah,
again.
But you're just reading all this crap on
no,
the
I'm
web.
Not,
I mean,
well, it's not a, well it is
well,
on the
stop.
Web. But it's from
stop.
Harvard, for crying out
stop.
Loud. Well, Harvard's not
stop.
Known for disinformation.
Yeah, but they're also not particular. Actually, that's not exactly true.
Oh, wow. Point of contention here. Well, if I want real bad information, I'll go to tinfoilhat.com
there you
or
go.
Something. But I'll
right.
stick with Harvard for that.
Howsaboutit.com.
Why don't we just say the bottom line point is
no,
that there,
the
are,
bottom,
there are...
Stop. The bottom line point is, you know, I want to do the summarizing. And the summarizing are those three things that I mentioned at the beginning
okay.
when we started. Right? Number one... The hybridization and genetically modified changes that are made to the grains themselves, ultimately providing protein, but proteins of a nature that essentially cause the body to create an inflammatory response. Number two, right, the use of herbicides and pesticides in the growing and in the harvesting of the grains. And number three, the destruction over time of the microbiome. That's the summary that I want people to walk away with, not this other stuff.
Okay, not
right?
this other stuff.
Stop it. Stop it.
Well,
and so,
okay.
Yeah. So so there's no better, I guess, demonstration of the principles I'm talking about and what I'm talking about than to hear from a patient who ultimately came in and was evaluated using the muscle testing procedures, the nutrition response testing in particular, and ultimately ended up with his personalized, his own tailored nutritional healing program. And that was
Chris,
who was experiencing heartburn and food sensitivities. Anxiety, various body pains, and even vision issues, right? All these things accumulating.
No kidding.
Yeah. So
a food sensitivity of sorts could lead to that kind of problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's listen to Chris, part one.
Let's start from the beginning, Chris. How did you come to get evaluated with this nutrition response testing technology in the first place? What got you here?
I kept having heartburn to the point where I thought I needed to go to the hospital, that I was dying. And I was listening to your show in the morning, probably over about a time period of a year.
A year?
Yep. And it sounded like you knew what you were talking about and that you could help me. And I had a false heart attack in New Year's Eve. And
oh my goodness.
Shortly after, I came to see you.
So the false heart attack, was that something that was a diagnosis that was given to you, or is that something you labeled yourself?
Yeah, they gave me Prilosec and said, take these and you'll be fine.
Aha, the old Prilosec trick.
Yep.
And so you had been experiencing some of these things, little flashes of these things earlier on, weren't you?
Yes. About 4 years ago, I had an incident where I also went to the emergency room. And they diagnosed me with heartburn. I've never experienced it before, and it just kind of hit me and lasted about a month, and then it got to where it just was extremely painful. And I took, I think at that time, was Zantac, and it pretty much went away. And then just this, during Christmas vacation, it just started hitting me worse and worse and worse, and by New Year's Eve, I was really hurting.
And just sort of to, I guess, some fill in some details. I mean, you know, I often talk about pharmaceuticals being masking agents or agents that essentially perhaps they may eliminate a symptom, but they really don't treat the root cause of the problem. Now, I'm sure you heard me say that many times.
Yes.
And I
pretty much had been eating fast food since the time I was 19, at least daily. And so when they gave me the Zantac, you know, the symptoms went away, but I still kept eating garbage.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm as guilty as everyone back when. And so you took this medication, but it was really only masking the symptoms is really where I was going. And ultimately, you know, my whole drive, my passion is actually to get at the root cause of the problem. And you were just sort of touching on that, and that is what you put in your mouth.
Exactly.
And so, yeah. So you came in. And were you suffering? Were there any other symptoms? I mean, did you have energy issues? Did you have sleep issues? Did you have, muscular or musculoskeletal pain or anything like that? Or was it?
Well, it was mostly my left arm.
Yeah.
That hurt, and that's what I kept thinking it was a heart issue.
Right.
But pretty much any time I eat something I'm not supposed to be eating, I get pain in my left arm.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. So you after a year. And, you know, I sort of emphasized that because it took me a little longer on my own. So, you know, you were quick. Of course, you know, both of us would probably say, why wait, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, anyway, you came in and you were searching other options. Why? I mean, what drove you?
What had happened is I had been somewhat dairy intolerant. And so I had switched to things like soy, and eventually I started, you know, after listening to your show, it's like, well, I have no idea what my body needs. I could be giving it the wrong thing. And so I finally decided to come to you to find out what my body needs.
Exactly.
So I kept filling it with soy and
oh my gosh.
Bread.
But this is what happens when we're just stabbing, you know, when we're reading. You know, the good thing about it is there's a lot of information out there, and there are lots of different options and supplements and vitamins. And, you know, one person says this and one person says that. And everybody's trying to apply what someone else says to themselves. But it turns out that you and I both discovered there's really only one approach, right?
Yes.
And that's your approach.
Yes.
Or for the individual.
Find out what I need.
Exactly. Exactly. Finding out what we need individually. Finding out what foods essentially interfere with our normal functional operation, which is basically all you're describing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Because you're not functioning.
That's Paul chatting with his patient, Chris. So Chris sounded textbook as to the issues you were discussing
earlier.
Yeah,
if I remember correctly, I think it's Chris, either had two ambulance rides or something, that one of which he had to pay for or both of which he had to pay, which basically would have paid for 3 or 4 years of work with me.
And this would have been indicative of the fact he thought he was having a heart attack at one point. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's why he called the ambulance. I mean, his symptoms were that serious.
Yeah. And they gave him an antacid. They gave him a...
Which is like, what, giving
proton
a Band-Aid for a sucking chest
for
wound
acid
or something?
Reflux. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's unfortunate.
But he
was not having a heart attack, right? He was just having symptoms? People can call you? Is that what you're getting to?
People can come in. And they can call, can't they?
Okay. They can call right now at 503-222-9700. 503-222-9700 to chat with Paul here on Health Matters. And again, any health issue is fair game.
It's fair game. It's fair game. And you can listen to this podcast at any time.
24-7.
24-7. It is a podcast, Health Matters with Paul Rosen. It's also on the website, acunatural.com, that you can go to. So, tune it up.
There you go.
Tune it up.
And you can do that at your convenience and put in your earbuds and go jogging with it.
I can't say this enough times. If you're taking supplements and no one has ever helped you determine what supplements you're taking, it's highly likely you're wasting your money.
What kind of supplements are you referring
to? Any supplements. Any. Vitamins, minerals, homeopathics.
Which I suspect we do kind of willy-nilly. We just think, you know, hey, I hear supplements are good, vitamins are good, so I'll just buy some vitamins and take those.
Yeah, and the likelihood that they're helping you is really slim. It's really slim. I know this personally.
Can those things be useful if you're using them in a more targeted way, more specifically for needs that you've identified?
It's really the only way to add any kind of certainty to the mix, is really to have a guide, to understand that, you know, stop wasting your money, stop wasting your time. Chris found that out.
So supplements aren't bad. It's just that you
not
have
at all.
To,
and they're extremely effective at treating the root cause of what's going on. Part two of Chris may shed some light on that.
You know, I mean, you said that you tried some medications. Had you tried any other vitamins or any other supplements before that?
No, not really. I wasn't doing that. I was trying to avoid dairy, but trying to fulfill that with soy products. Didn't take any other supplements.
Yeah. It's just kind of the hit and miss strategy, right? I mean, the scattergun approach. Let's take it, throw it against the wall, see if it sticks.
Right.
You know, kind of deal. And you just got tired of it.
Yeah, well, it wasn't working.
Oh, good. Oh, gee. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's not working for most folks, but they don't know that there's an option, which is why I asked you, you know, if you would consent to come on, because it's knowing that there's an option, a real option. So was the evaluation painful?
No.
Pretty easy.
Pretty easy.
Unusual, though.
A little bit, yeah.
Describe. I mean, what made it unusual for you?
Well, just the ability to the testing, the muscle testing, and be able to pinpoint some things that I kind of thought in the back of my head, and you were able to confirm that I was having troubles with like my gallbladder and other things, and I was just amazed at how accurate you were able to find things that I'd already had suspicions that were wrong with me.
And so if somebody told you, oh, this whole thing is just quackery, it's just, you know, there's just no proof at all that this stuff has any, you know, effectiveness whatsoever, and there's no scientific basis for this, what would you say to them?
Try it. It's working for me. I've been coming about 60 days now. I can tell that my digestive system is already changing. I'm feeling better. I enjoy cooking and eating good food. And I know now what the foods are.
But there's no scientific basis. Come on, Chris.
Yeah, but it works. and I'm not taking medicines that say you could, you know, that the side effects are worse than the cure. What we're doing is food.
Exactly.
There's no side effects to food.
And one might categorize or label this particular, information or experience as anecdotal, and anecdotal experiences, of course, get short shrift by the scientific community. But it seems like this anecdotal information is quite effective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think we'll give it up. What do you say?
No, I'm sticking to it. Definitely feel much better.
And that acid reflux is essentially history, unless, of course, you go against or violate or ignore or whatever your particular program.
Exactly.
And that in and of itself is probably all the proof we need.
Yes.
So you're being supported through this process?
Mostly, yes.
Yeah, so are you getting, well, let's back it up, I should say this. Are you being supported in the office through this process?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The office is very supportive.
And so when you say mostly, you're thinking about what?
Certain family members.
Aha. Let's talk. Yeah, right. And that's, and honestly, when you go against the, you know, the conservative wind, as I sometimes refer to it, you know, when you have to actually take control, when you decide to take control, and in taking control, this looks to others like, you know, I mean, you know, how come you're not doing exactly what I'm doing?
Again, that's Paul talking to his patient, Chris. Was Chris saying there, Paul, that he had some pushback from some members of his family?
It's the hardest part of the process, really. I mean, you know, if everybody around you accepts you for you and you know, isn't trying to mold you in their image rather than allowing you to establish your own, right?
I would say makes it molding, hard. The molding is the most common
thing.
Yeah,
it makes
it
hard. Yeah, it makes it hard to, especially food. I mean, we do a lot around food. You know, a lot of our life is based around food. We socialize around food. It makes it a little bit of a challenge. But like I always say to people, whose life is it anyway? Theirs or yours?
Well, in other words, you may have people around you, people you respect even, who may not actually get behind you when you announce you're making changes in your diet.
Which is where you lose respect for them, because what you thought they might have been turns out to be something else, right? I mean, why would even to my wife, you know, I mean, why would I have to explain something I'm doing to better myself? And then by implication, my partnership.
Well, and the flip side of that maybe is that if you are healthier and living a better quality of life, that's going to reflect in how you relate to the people close to you.
Exactly what I'm saying.
So you can improve your quality of life, of course.
I mean, in other words,
if
I'm doing
health.
Something that's not making them do it, right? Although making them do some of what I'm doing probably would be really, really useful, right?
Well, and another thing that can happen is maybe you can see that somebody close to you is having some kind of food sensitivity or food allergy or some kind of difficulty. And when I say you, I mean everybody, not just you, Paul Rosen. Maybe you can say to them, you know, maybe there's a cause for this and maybe there's an identifiable cause and there's a way for you to deal with that.
Not maybe. Maybe doesn't play any role in it at all. It's a definite. It's a definite. If you make the effort, along with your own personal nutritional healing program, the types of suffering that you're experiencing, the symptoms that you're experiencing, will begin to change for the better. Anybody who's ever come to see me, save the individual that was wheelchair bound, right? Barely mobile, barely sentient. I couldn't help them much. But that's only been a couple of people in 30 years. Right? If you're willing to make the changes, we can help you. If you have any chronic symptom whatsoever, it means that you are not on the right track. It means you're not on the right track. Right? No matter how many times you've thrown something at it. Supplements, massages, acupuncture treatments, chiropractic adjustments, drugs, or whatever. You're not on the right track. How long is it going to take you to step outside a little bit of your comfort zone? And we invite you into our family to be able to change the trajectory of the quality of your life. It can be done. We can help you do it.
And,
but like Chris, it took him a year.
We'll get back to him. And maybe you can start that process right now by calling us at 503-222-9700. Again, 503-222-9700 to speak to Paul here at Health Matters. Call for yourself for the benefit of somebody to whom you're close who may be having some kind of chronic symptom or other issue. Paul might be able to help you out.
Chris, part three.
Okay, how about we do that? Again, this is Paul's patient, Chris, and how he made things better for himself.
Well, it was a little hard in the beginning because, you know, I was used to hamburgers and a lot of food that had nothing in it.
Nothing, no nutritional value.
Yeah. Right. No nutritional value.
Yeah.
And I was starting to think that, you know, high blood pressure was coming and I was going to be a diabetic. And my vision started to get worse. But like I said, fast food, everybody knows that's going to kill you, but I just kept eating it.
Despite the movie Supersize, right? You just scoffed at it.
It was a timing thing, you know?
Isn't it?
It's so easy. It doesn't take time. You just do it. You're tired, and you don't want to put the effort in. But, you know, once I got into it, making food for myself and going around the edges of the grocery store.
Yes, on the outside. I taught you that. Right, yeah. Going around there. Maybe you knew it beforehand. I don't know. But it's something that we emphasize for sure, walking into a supermarket. And going around the outside, the perimeter of the market will keep you out of the most trouble. That
yeah, and enjoying fresh peeled carrots again, and you know the stuff that your mother always wanted you to eat, and it's been really fun.
It's tough to admit your mom was right, huh?
I know.
Come on, tell her, Mom, you were right.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. And so this, you know, one thing I kind of wanted to back up a little bit, and that is this issue of family support or friend support.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's not much there.
Right.
And so how do you handle it? I mean, what do you do that enables you to, I mean, or how do you think about it or that enables you to, you know, continue to move in this direction that you're moving, which clearly may be contrary to, you know, their pressure.
Well, it becomes a matter of health instead of lifestyle. You know, you come, everybody's having pizza or something like this, and you look at it more of this is going to hurt me. And
regardless of what they say.
Yeah, regardless of what they say, I know that if I get into that, it's going to hurt me. I'm going to have a side effect to that food, and if I, you know, bring my healthy food with me, you know, I'm feeling a lot better, and most of them are supportive of that, and you just feel better.
And you just feel better. So, you know, of course, you know, living in the world, it's a lot easier when you feel better.
Yeah, and I know what's in the food I'm making because I am making it myself, so I know there's, you know, nobody adding things to it or preserving it. It's all fresh.
So
right
cool.
Off the edge of the store.
Yeah, so cool. So cool. I mean, what we often say is, you know, does that blank taste as good as I feel today?
Right. Yeah. Well, like I was telling you, it got bad to where I pretty much thought I was dying every week.
It's no way to live, and you're a young guy.
Yeah, I'm 38. So
that means you potentially could have, you know, 30 or 40 years just maybe living like you feel like you're...
Could be good years if we stay on this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I guess one of the questions I want to ask is what are some of the biggest surprises to you since you began your nutritional transformation?
Probably the way my digestive system works. I've had sour stomach since I was a kid.
So it goes back even farther, really.
Yeah, I learned to deal with the sour stomach issue because from a child, I had, you know, nervous stomach and not good
digestion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very poor digestion. So I got kind of used to that and tried to avoid certain dairy products. And so I'd been dealing with the sour stomach for, you know, since I was a kid.
Wow.
And then just in the last 5 or 6 years is when the heartburn started.
Really, you can really see the process just kind of, you know, getting worse and worse and
deteriorating.
Yeah. Yeah.
So since I've been on the program, the way my digestive system works is totally totally different than my entire life.
Wow.
I'm actually starting to operate correctly, and that is amazing.
Wow. It is amazing.
And we'll wrap it up with Chris.
And you notice
just a
what
moment.
He said.
What
in
did
his
he say?
Entire life. Right? He said his entire life.
He had dealt with these things.
Yeah. It's amazing how much people will tolerate before, you know, they reach out into some, you know, slightly out of the box experience.
And it's not so much that it's out of the box.
It's so it's, common. No,
it's just available.
No, what I'm saying is what I do is out of the box.
Well, okay. Why would you go for decades, though? I want to clarify one thing too. You talked about in that segment about going around the edge of the grocery store. What did you mean by that?
Perimeter?
The perimeter.
Go around the perimeter.
Not outside, within the grocery store. You're going around the perimeter of the aisles. Why is that?
Because that's where the fresh food is.
There you go. That's the point I wanted you to make right there.
Yeah. That's where the fresh food is, generally speaking.
There's a shopping tip right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Chris, your patient.
Yeah. And a couple of points I wanted to make. Number one is that, you know, with along with this food sensitivity thing, one of the symptoms that people can experience is allergies, you know, nasal congestion and watery eyes and those type of allergies.
So somebody may attribute that to seasonal
issues.
And
a misunderstanding of that is that the cause is pollen. And nothing could be farther from the truth.
It could be a food sensitivity.
Well, yes, but the real issue, you know, one of the causes of food sensitivity is one of those three things I mentioned, is the use of pesticides and herbicides. And that's essentially what causes food sensitivities. It's the environmental, the air pollution, including pesticides, herbicides, fungicides.
Do we want to hear the last part of Chris's story?
We do.
Here we go.
At some point, you have to know who you are.
Right.
You have to know what the about the body that you're living in so that you can maximize the potential for health, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you went to the emergency room, did you have insurance for that?
Yes.
So you were lucky.
I was lucky, yes.
But you can imagine what it might have costed for you to go, what it might have costed. It's great English.
Oh, yeah.
What it might have cost to go to that emergency room.
Yeah. It would have
I mean, did you see the bill?
Well, my 20% was expensive.
What?
I think it's an 80-20 plan.
But yeah.
I had to pay 20%, and that wasn't cheap.
Which was what? How much?
I think it was $500 or $600.
$500 or $600, and you've actually come to see me, right?
Yep.
And you'll spend maybe $1,000 or $1,500 in 5 months.
Right.
And you went to the emergency room twice.
Twice.
So you could almost pay for the first part of the program, the most intense part of the program, just from that.
Yeah. Well, the first time I even had an ambulance ride, so that was a lot. That was really expensive.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So it's not the money issue.
No.
No. It's not the money issue.
No.
But it is
changing your mind.
Changing your lifestyle.
Yep.
It's like I always say, if you want to change a life, you've got to change a lifestyle. But the only way you can change a lifestyle is changing your habits.
Yep.
It's the only way you can do it. And, you know, it reminds me of a comedian that I listen to sometimes. And he had this great skit where he was talking about the fact that if he was talking about the convenience gene. He was just sort of naming, you know, human beings in general, the convenience gene he thought was a stronger drug than, you know, heroin or cocaine or anything else. He said, can you imagine if I actually had the cure to cancer, but I said to you, I am not going to reveal this cure unless you put down the remote.
Yep.
You could never use the remote control again, but I've got the cure for cancer and you've got cancer.
Yeah, that'd be a hard choice for love. Amazingly.
Oh, my goodness. But it's so much simpler than that.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the habit you're changing is instead of eating, you know, things like sugary products and you know, the fast food snacks and all that sort of stuff, you're actually eating nutrient dense food, and you eat less. Yes.
Yes.
Isn't that something you've noticed?
Yep, and weight is coming off me without trying.
How much have you lost?
I'm down about 10 pounds.
Wow. And, of course, I put you under a strict physical regimen, right?
No, I haven't done it. It's summertime now. I might start doing a little more of that. But basically just food, eliminating a lot of what I was eating and eating the right stuff.
So what would you recommend to people out there? I mean, if you had the opportunity to talk to people who were struggling with their health, what would you say to them?
I would say they need to come see you and get off of, the Western medicine that lumps everybody into groups. And come find out what you need, personally.
Yeah.
Because we're all different.
And we say it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we get lumped all together.
Yep.
Isn't that just bizarre?
We get lumped into prescriptions.
Yeah, yeah. Or sort of the same type of change. Well, Chris, I want to thank you so much for spending the time today. And I know that you and I will inspire somebody to make the change. If we can do it, they can do it. Don't you think?
Absolutely. It's worth it.
All right. Thanks so much for taking the time.
And I'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right. I'll see you in the office in a couple weeks.
There you go. And that wraps up the show, Paul.
Next week, food labels. Have you actually ever stopped to read one? Unfortunately, it's not what's there, but what isn't. A closer look will help you sort out what's useful and what's not. Plus, 10 things to throw away for better health. In the meantime, you ate your way to illness, and you can eat your way to wellness. Remember, it's the food, folks, so keep yours fresh.